coalition of environmental groups called the Friends of Wolf Creek say they have uncovered evidence that the staff of the Rio Grande National Forest was in collusion with developer BJ Red McCombs in his effort to build a resort at the base of Wolf Creek ski area known as the Village at Wolf Creek, and that emails acquired through a Freedom of Information Act request show Forest Service officials actively tried to conceal or destroy correspondence about decision-making related to the project. Joining me on the phone this morning is Dan Olson. He's the executive director of the San Juan Citizens Alliance, who are among the environmental groups that comprise the Friends of Wolf Creek. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Tom.
Let's briefly start off here by just giving a little bit of a backstory on the Village at Wolf Creek. Why is this project so contentious?
Sure. Well, I think it's important to put it in the broader context of this is an issue that has been plaguing our community since literally 1986, 30 years. And the origins of the project go back to a 1986 land deal between the developer, the would-be developers, and the federal government that at first was, you know, decided that it was not in the public interest to give this developer this public land at the base of the ski area. And then 2 weeks later, that decision was mysteriously overturned, and the public land was ceded to this development group. Since then, the challenge with the project has been the land that was acquired in that land swap is an in-holding. It doesn't have good road access. And so for the last 30 years, our community has really been in this battle of what is appropriate access to this in-holding and what scale of development would be appropriate. And there have been various legal battles over the last 30 years about this question of access, culminating in last year's decision by the Forest Service to grant the development team a second parcel of land that really resolves the developer's access issue. It gives them land contiguous to the highway that really gives a green light for full-scale development.
Okay, so as you have moved forward on this, as the Friends of Wolf Creek have moved forward on this project, you had a Freedom of Information Act request, and you were looking for documents between the Forest Service and the developer. What did you see in the documents that you got that seemed to show that there was some collusion between the Forest Service and the developer?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, so what we do in a process like this is there's a called FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act. And FOIA really goes to the heart of governmental transparency and accountability. As citizens of this country, we can ask the government to provide documents that support their decision-making process. And so it was first very disturbing for us when we asked to see those documents that the Forest Service wouldn't comply. They would not give the public documents that are rightfully ours to see. And so our partner organization, Rocky Mountain Wild, had to file two separate lawsuits just to get the Forest Service to release documents that are should be in the public hands already. When we started combing through those documents, which now total over 100,000 pages of documentation, we saw clear evidence of discussions between Forest Service employees about destroying and deleting documents to, you know, make sure that this doesn't look bad if someone submits a FOIA request, discussions of how they would stop discussion via email and move it into hard copy form, because typically hard copies are not disclosed as part of FOIA requests, and also the discussion of the strategy of CCing legal counsel, not because the matter was necessarily needing legal counsel, but specifically to avoid FOIA requests. If legal counsel is CC'd, they can claim attorney-client privilege and not release those documents. So from the documentation, it's clear that there was a really well-orchestrated strategy of how to avoid public transparency to get a view into what is the thinking that justified this decision.
So can you give us some examples of some of the things that you saw in those emails that gave you some concern about this lack of transparency?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there was, the kind of, you're always looking for the smoking gun, and in this case, we literally found multiple smoking guns. I mean, there's clear, blatant discussion of make sure you delete these documents. This wouldn't look good if it gets out in the public. But I think what's, and we pointed to a number of different examples like that. But I think what's harder to show the public is when you look at the entire record, you can see employees talking about a contentious issue. And then all of a sudden, there's this big gap in the record where it seems like there's no more discussion, and then all of a sudden, there's a decision. So when you combine the fact that there's open discussion of how to avoid public transparency, followed by significant gaps in the record, we feel it's pretty clear that the discussions of how to avoid public transparency were carried out quite effectively, because when looking at the record, there are significant gaps and a significant lack of explanation as to why they're coming to certain decisions.
Is this FOIA request that you made in this instance something that you have had to do before, or is this a pretty extraordinary circumstance?
You know, unfortunately, it really depends on the agency that you're working with and even the office within the agency that you're working with. With certain field offices, we have a very strong relationship, and we ask for documents, and they're given, and they're made very available to the public. Unfortunately, on certain projects, usually contentious projects, or certain field offices, specifically the BLM Farmington field office, we are constantly needing to submit FOIA requests and, unfortunately, constantly ending up in litigation to force compliance with this law, because it seems like some agencies and some project managers are less keen to have the public peering over their shoulder.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the developer. BJ Red McCombs is the man, the billionaire that's behind this project. Is his involvement part of this because he has such political clout and such pull? Do you feel like his involvement in this project has been particularly troublesome?
You know, we've been in court with this development group before, and that's the pattern that we've seen in the past, and that's the story that we're starting to see play out as we review the documents yet again. There are many instances in the record when the Forest Service is talking about making a decision or moving forward with the project, and someone raises the flag, you know, this isn't going to go over with Red. And then his lobbyists and his lawyers are emailing the Forest Service saying, you know, Red's going to start making calls in Washington, D.C. He's going to start rattling cages. He doesn't like this. He's unhappy. What's interesting in our FOIA request, so Rocky Mountain Wild has one of the FOIA lawsuits is still open. And one of the contentious issues is to date, the Forest Service has refused to disclose email traffic and discussions in the Washington, D.C. office. And we're pushing really hard to get those documents because we feel it's really clear that it's possible that the regional office, aren't necessarily the bad guys in the story. You know, we're seeing evidence that it was looking like they were going to deny this idea of a land swap. And then under threat of what Red calling his friends in Washington, did a reversal and then created a bunch of analysis to make the outcome, come out a different way. And so we're really pushing hard to get that D.C. traffic because there's a lot of evidence or circumstantial evidence that suggests that's where we'll find the calls, you know, from Red's team into D.C. and the directive coming down from on high to change the analysis to give Red what he wants.
If you're just tuning in, this is KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning I'm talking with Dan Olson. He's the executive director of the San Juan Citizens Alliance. They are among several environmental groups that comprise the Friends of Wolf Creek. And this morning we're talking about their recent document request that resulted in some emails that appear to show some collusion between the developer and the Forest Service as it relates to the village at Wolf Creek. We're going to take a short break and we will be right back. Stay with us. We're back. You're listening to KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning, we are talking about the village at Wolf Creek. It's a proposed resort at the base of the Wolf Creek ski area and emails that were recently acquired through a Freedom of Information Act that show Forest Service officials may have been trying to conceal or destroy correspondence about decision-making related to the project. My guest this morning by phone is Dan Olson. He's the executive director of the San Juan Citizens Alliance. They are among the environmental groups that comprise the Friends of Wolf Creek. That's the group that put forward the FOIA request for those documents. So, Dan, where do things go from here? You've got these documents that are pretty troublesome. What happens next?
So there's a couple of things moving forward right now. The most significant is there are two ongoing lawsuits. One, as I mentioned previously, is that FOIA lawsuit trying to get more disclosure. And the second is a lawsuit that's challenging the decision to give this developer another parcel of public land, again, that greenlights the development. So for us, we are really ramping up for that legal case. But in terms of public involvement, I think it's really important for the public to be talking to their elected officials, especially the Colorado congressional delegation, because really what's happening here is an administrative agency, the Forest Service, doing the bidding of a very wealthy developer. And I think rather than this being, a kind of a cut and dry environmental issue, and there are tremendous environmental concerns, this spot sits in a major wildlife migration corridor, critical lynx habitat, rare fen wetlands, at 10,000 feet high in the Continental Divide. It's not a particularly good place for development. But outside of the environmental issues, I think this is something that all constituents should be concerned about. There's a lack of governmental transparency. There's a lack of accountability. And it seems that the Forest Service is bending over backwards to appease one particularly wealthy individual's interests over the interests of tens of thousands of people in surrounding communities. And that, to me, is something that our congressional delegation needs to hear people's concerns and, in some cases, outrage, so that they should be calling the Forest Service and saying, what are you doing? How are you serving my constituents? This is going beyond kind of an area of gray. It seems like some really shady dealings, and our community wants some redress here.
The Rio Grande National Forest Supervisor, Dan Dallas, has said that some of the emails that you were talking about earlier were taken out of context. How do you respond to that?
Well, one is we put the entire record up on our website, so anyone can look at the correspondences themselves and determine if it's in context or not. Unlike our federal agency in this case, we're being completely transparent. Secondly, it's kind of hard to take a comment of burn this email once read in a context of this isn't going to make us look good in case we get FOIA'd out of context. And then third, if it was just one particular correspondence, you could see how maybe we're trying to cherry pick something. But we have a well-articulated and well-documented strategy involving multiple different approaches, deleting documents, CCing lawyers, and moving discussions to a hard copy form that make it, I think, a very difficult argument to kind of stand up. And at the end of the day, we'll see how this plays out in the court of law. We're really looking forward to that court date. I doubt Dan Dallas is as happy.
Do you see this being resolved in the near future? I mean, you were describing earlier, this is really kind of a decades process that's been going on between this proposed resort, the village at Wolf Creek, and this pushback, this fight that your environmental groups, the San Juan Citizens Alliance, have made. Do you see this ever being resolved? Is this just going to be something that sort of drains resources on both sides and just gets drawn out longer and longer?
To be honest, that's our biggest fear, right? We've been in court before. We won before in many of these same issues. And then the developer and the Forest Service come back to the table, conduct another sham environmental impact statement, and here we are back in court again in an almost identical situation. So I think that not only are we hoping to prevail in court over this recent decision, but if or when we do, I think that our community, our congressional delegation, and the Forest Service needs to sit down and say, what is happening in this office such that there is this persistent pattern, this persistent abuse of transparency and of adhering to the law? Because our community doesn't want to start this process again. And I do believe that if we're successful in court here, it's going to force a reckoning within the Forest Service that hopefully will not allow us to end up in this same exact spot 5 or 10 years down the road.
I want to also get back to something that you said earlier. You said, you didn't really feel like necessarily the people in the local, the Rio Grande National Forest office are the bad guys. Do you feel like that staff is kind of caught between a rock and a hard place to some degree here?
It's hard to tell. And the reason it's hard to tell is when you destroy a bunch of documents and the record's incomplete, we're trying to piece together that story. I think that's one possible narrative. And to be honest, I think we'll learn more, especially when or if we get the D.C. correspondence through our Freedom of Information Act request. But another thing is, if that is in fact how this is playing out, it would be great to hear from folks in that office who perhaps, were carrying out orders on high that perhaps they didn't agree with. Right now, what we have is a lot of damaging discussion going on at the regional level, and a lack of transparency at the D.C. level. If, in fact, the directives were coming down from high, let's bring that out in the open, let's shine some light on that, and and let's hold people accountable where they should be held accountable. But right now, with the lack of transparency, we're left to piece together a story. And to be honest, we're interested to see how it develops ourselves.
As it relates to management of public land on a bigger scale, do you feel like that kind of situation is maybe more widespread than we realize, where there's directives coming down from Washington, D.C. or higher up the chain, and that sometimes our local field offices are caught in these decisions that they don't necessarily agree with, but they're being directed to follow through on?
You know, I would say that in our dealings with federal agencies, by and large, we have tremendous respect for the hard work of folks at the local, regional, and even D.C. level. But I think it's also impossible to avoid the fact that in a system such as ours, politics and money does sometimes influence decision-making processes. So I think that we work with great, fantastic folks. I think that sometimes on some projects or in some instances, these processes go off the rails. And yes, I think political influence does come to bear. But by and large, I mean, our federal employees do, you know, yeoman's work day in and day out, oftentimes with little recognition from the public, which is why situations like this are so difficult for us, because we want to be the champions of our Forest Service employees here in this region at the national level. And situations like this make that more complicated for us. But by and large, I think most employees have the right heart, the right intention, and the right goal to manage these lands well. And yeah, sometimes politics influences that process.
You mentioned earlier, too, that you have put the documents that you acquired up on your website. How do people get more information about this issue as it relates to the village at Wolf Creek? How do they see those documents? And even more importantly, maybe, how do they get involved?
Sure. So, you know, there's two different places I would direct folks to. The first is the sanjuancitizens.org website. And to go directly to the Wolf Creek page, it's sanjuancitizens.org/Wolf-Creek, or just go to the San Juan Citizens Alliance page, and I'm sure you'll find it. But we have a tremendous amount of background material, access to all of these documents in their raw form, a short video that explains what's going on, a timeline, etc. Another great source of information is friendsofwolfcreek.org, which is the larger coalition of ourselves, Rocky Mountain Wild, and the San Luis Valley Ecosystem Council, that have partnered to spearhead the defense of Wolf Creek Pass.
And why do you feel like it's important for folks to get involved in this?
You know, again, as I said earlier, I think this is not an environmental issue at the end of the day. I think this is an issue of government transparency and accountability. There are laws on the books that govern how our federal agencies should be determining whether or not a project like this is in the public's interest. When those laws, when that process is subverted because of political influence, and I don't care if it's local political influence nor if it's Washington, D.C. political influence because you're a well-connected billionaire, it doesn't matter. It strikes at the heart of a functioning democracy. So I don't care if you're left, right, center, conservative, progressive. Those, I don't think when you boil things down to a local project and a local issue, those categories have any bearing. This is a decision that's going to affect this entire region tremendously, and it's being done in accordance not with the law, not with due process, but with people grabbing at the largest political lever they can pull on. And in the case of a situation like this, Red McComb's political levers are pretty significant. So if we as a community are going to buck that trend, we need people in these communities, we need our citizens to lend their voices to these processes, to get involved, to get educated, and to let their congressional delegation know that this is not how we expect government to be working on our behalf.
Well, Dan, thank you so much for your time this morning. It was good to talk with you.
Yeah, thanks so much, Tom.
That's Dan Olson. He's the executive director of the San Juan Citizens Alliance. They are part of a coalition of environmental groups that comprise the Friends of Wolf Creek. Thanks for listening to KSJD this morning. I'm Tom Yoder.